Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please grab your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. There we go. Of course, if you do not have a Bible, you are welcome to see me after the service so we can get one into your hands as our gift to you. Last week, we looked at the beginning of Luke chapter 2. We saw God become man. We saw God come down clothed in flesh. Jesus the Christ was born a human baby boy. And as a human baby boy, he did all the things that a baby does. He cried, despite what some Christmas songs tell you. He nursed and ate. He dirtied his diaper. He was a human baby boy and all that that entailed. And I say those things not to sound crass or irreverent towards him as God, but instead I say that to remind us all that he was indeed a baby and a human being. He was also God, fully man, not part one and part the other, or fully one instead of the other, but he was both. And so anything that a human being does, Jesus did, especially as a baby. Doing the things that Daniel does, doing the things that all of us did as babies. That's who he was. And as a human baby boy, we read earlier in the scripture Frank read, I read it last week in from Galatians, that Jesus, being a baby boy, was born under the law, meaning that he was required to keep the law that God handed down. Failure to keep that law would mean that Jesus sinned. That would mean that he fell short of the glory of God and would not be able to be our salvation. Well, we know that that did not happen. It could not happen. If so, there's no point in us standing here today. But what we're going to see today is that Mary and Joseph, they did the things that they were supposed to do under the law after having a baby, especially after having a son. And we will see in that two affirmations of Jesus being not just a baby boy, that they treated him as a human baby boy, but we're going to see after that two affirmations that Jesus was also God himself in this passage. So we're going to go ahead and read that. It'll be Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 38. I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version, and the important thing is not which translation you read, but that you read the Word of God for yourself. So please follow along as I read the passage. Luke 2, 21 through 38, Luke, inspired by the third part of the Trinity, himself fully God, the Holy Spirit, Luke records. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to them, to speak of him to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. May God bless the reading of his word. So we start off here, and one of the things we've seen in the first chapter and a half, almost two full chapters of Luke, is that Luke likes to make parallels. He likes to pair stories up and show the commonalities of those. We see that between Jesus Christ and John the Baptist. And that's the main one that we're looking at. We see on the eighth day, his parents took him and had him circumcised according to the law of Moses, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth did with John. And as was the custom of the day, they also officially named him that day. Both Mary, back in Luke 1:31, and Joseph in Matthew 1:21, they were both separately told by angels to name the son that they were going to have, Jesus. And that's exactly what they did. They were obedient in what that angel said. Now, sometime after that, after the circumcision and the naming, about 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. The timing of the dedication and the required sacrifice involved go all the way back to Leviticus 12. The Lord gave the law to Moses, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And at the time of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are complete. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her menstruation. She shall continue in the blood of her purifying for 66 days. When the days of her purifying are complete, whether for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a lamb a year old for a burnt offering, and a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. And he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her. Then she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who bears a child, either male or female. And if she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. And the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean." I read all that to show us that what Mary and Joseph were doing were prescribed by God a couple of thousand years before they did it. It was in the law. It was one of the things that they were required to do. Mary and Joseph were observant, and they were obedient, and they were righteous. They went to the temple, and they brought their sacrificial offering with them. Well, from this, we do see that Mary and Joseph were not particularly well off. They were poor, and they were working class. And we know this because they brought a pair of turtle doves, or 2 young pigeons, instead of a lamb and a turtle dove. They would not have been able to afford to bring a lamb for this sacrifice. And once again, this early in Luke, we see who Luke sees as important to God. God shows up and he appears to and he pursues those who are poor and lowly, those who are not those built up and made as the powerful, especially and specifically those who are poor in spirit. Kent Hughes, a commentator for Luke, writes, "Here we again see that Christianity began and always begins with a spirit of need, spiritual destitution." He continues later and he says, "God did not and does not come to the self-sufficient." This is a truth we need to remind ourselves of again and again. Christianity, wrongly understood, gives some an elusive sense of personal spiritual adequacy. Even the born again can wrongly turn spiritual advances into prideful self-sufficiency, a sense that one has arrived. And we must continually guard against this within ourselves. Our only adequacy is in Christ. And that's an important thing to remember, in Christ alone. Nothing about us, nothing that we have done, nothing that we will do, but the finished and complete and powerful work of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Now, Mary and Joseph were not the established. They were not rich and powerful. They were righteous, but they were nobody. They were not known by anybody in their world outside of their immediate family and their immediate neighbors. They were poor materially, and they were poor in spirit. But it is the poor in spirit that God comes to and builds up. And God sends an angel to them that they're going to miraculously give birth to the Savior, to the Messiah, to the Lord's Christ. They do this, and yet she gives birth in a manger, the poorest of situations. And then the shepherds show up and tell them what they have seen. That's an amazing thing. And now they go to the temple and they dedicate Jesus. And we see another two examples in the temple of God affirming and confirming who Jesus really and truly is. Again, I said Luke likes his pairs and parallels. We saw that with John and Jesus. We saw that with Mary and Elizabeth. We'll see that as we continue on through this gospel. We see it today with Simeon and Anna, two prophets waiting at the temple, praying and serving the Lord. Simeon was waiting for the Messiah very specifically. It's presumed that he was a very old man at this point. The way he cries out to God when he holds Jesus makes it sound like he's ready to go home. He's lived a full life, and he's ready to go home and be with the Lord. It doesn't actually tell us how old he is or if he's old at all. But he is waiting for God to redeem his people, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. God revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ, until he saw the promised one from God. Now, what we pull from this is not that we won't die before God does this, or God's going to promise to keep us alive for this amount of time. But instead, what we pull from this, one commentator writes, once he, Simeon, had his promise, Simeon patiently waited for its fulfillment. This is what it means to be a believer. It means waiting in faith for God to do what he has promised. How often Simeon must have walked the streets of the city waiting for the salvation that God had promised to give. Those promises that we get from God, that Scripture lays out clear and clearly and loudly, are not things that will always be immediately fulfilled. We don't know what's going to be fulfilled when, or if we're going to be alive to see them fulfilled. What we know is that God said it's going to happen, therefore we know that it will happen, and we wait patiently in faith for God to fulfill his promises. That's what Simeon was doing. And then Simeon just happened to be at the temple that morning, in the right time and the right place. And we know, of course, that it was not coincidence, but that God directed this. And you can just imagine Simeon as he's in there day after day for who knows how long, and he lays his eyes upon this baby being dedicated. And he would have seen probably hundreds or thousands of babies during his time when he was waiting. And he looked over and he sees this one. And he just knew. He sees Jesus and he grabs him and he holds him and he lets out these praises to God. He was so excited. He got to see God keep his word. He got to see God fulfill this promise. He got to see the Messiah, and he could go home now. He had been blessed by God, and now he got to see the blessing of God for the rest of the world. And what Simeon would say here would have either been confusing or nearly blasphemous to those who might have overheard him in the temple. The first part would have been just confusing. So we've seen in recent weeks, Simeon, we see Simeon look down and baby Jesus, born to these two poor people, and Simeon declares him the Lord's salvation. Now, we've been going over, we know this was not how the Messiah was supposed to appear to Israel. This is not who they were waiting for. They were waiting for a mighty warrior coming down and freeing Israel from the captivity of whatever nation was oppressing them, which at this time would have been Rome. He was supposed to militarily defeat and drive them out. He was supposed to physically take the seat of the throne of David and rule in Jerusalem forever. That's who they were waiting for. That's what they expected. And then they come, and this baby boy, born to a couple of poor parents, and Simeon says, "This is the Lord's salvation." And yet, Simeon says that. He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And he sees not just a part of our salvation or a means to our salvation, but he is our whole salvation. Again, Kent Hughes writes, he says, "The baby Jesus was and is God's salvation. Moreover, Simeon did not say, 'My eyes have seen part of your salvation.' Christ is totally sufficient. He is all that we need. True peace comes only when we, like Simeon, understand that salvation is Jesus Christ plus nothing, and we rest our souls in him alone." This baby Jesus would grow up and he would bring salvation to all of God's people. And this is where it would become controversial to those in the temple. And it's controversial to many today. Simeon says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Well, wait a minute. What did Simeon just say? He said salvation for your people Israel. I got that. Yeah, we're saved because we're Israel. You know. But did he just say something about the Gentiles too? He must be getting a little too old. He's been waiting a little too long. He might have had too much frankincense on this morning or something. He's talking nonsense now. Simeon here is sharing what God has revealed throughout Scripture. He is sharing the good news of the gospel that all people are able to receive salvation, that the gospel is open to all, whosoever may believe. This is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for Israel. God opened this up to the Gentiles. This was unheard of. They didn't. This was, if this was a group of people had overheard Simeon, they would not have liked this. This is why Paul was getting in trouble after he started preaching the gospel. This is Jesus was getting in trouble for teaching these things. This was not what was expected to be. Salvation was for Jews alone. But God makes it clear in the scriptures that all who believe will be called Israel. Both believing Jews and believing Gentiles are who make up God's people. There is one God's people. And God sent his son to save all of his people. Now, it seems likely because of the controversy of that, that it probably would have been only Mary and Joseph who overheard Simeon's words. We'll see coming up, maybe Anna overheard as she was walking up as well. But they heard these things. Mary and Joseph heard these things, and as they were wont to do, they marveled at them. You think of the things that they've experienced over the last 10 months, 10 and a half months, whatever. We don't see anything of Joseph after the childhood. We don't see anything of Joseph after the childhood of Jesus. Now, that might be because he just wasn't part of the story. It probably is because he died somewhere along the way. But we see him in the beginning. We see him in the childhood of Jesus. And Mary and Joseph struggled with who and what exactly Jesus was. Now, they heard and believed the angels. They heard and pondered in their hearts what the shepherd said. They marveled here at what Simeon said. They believed this. They didn't fully understand it. There's no indication that they ever really did, at least not until after the resurrection. We don't have to understand all of what God tells us. We don't have to understand every bit of the mechanics of how our salvation works. We have to know and believe that our salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. We don't have to understand all of the details. But we have to understand and believe that what God told us is true. Simeon then turned his attention from God himself directly to Mary. He says two things of note here. He says, first, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Now, most people look at this, and there's usually two ways that it reads. And R.C. Sproul sums them up. He says, if the fall and rising applies to one group, then it means that they must be humbled in repentance before they can rise into salvation. If it describes two groups, then it indicates that those who reject Jesus will fall eternally, but those who accept him will rise to be with God. Now, the good news is both of those are 100% biblically accurate. So it doesn't really matter which you read into that. It works. And so we see that this is the case. We see that we do need to be humbled in repentance before God can rise us into salvation. We have to repent and be faithful. Jesus says his first words in Mark, repent and believe the gospel. That's what is required, is that faith, and that faith causes repentance. We also know that once that decision is made, once we die, we don't get another chance. Not everybody ends up in heaven. There are not many roads that lead to the same destination, but we know that we have the chance until then to accept him and to walk that narrow path, to believe in the way, the truth, and the light. Rejecting Jesus, we will fall eternally, and those who accept him will rise to be with God eternally. Next, we see Simeon say to Mary that a sword will pierce her soul. This life is not going to be easy for Mary. The life of Jesus is not going to be easy for her. We're going to see her son look crazy. His family's going to want to put him away because he's talking so crazy. We're going to see that he teaches things that most did not understand, and he will be rejected by nearly everyone. And finally, he is going to be killed and crucified. And Mary is going to be a front row witness to all of this. Now, moms, I don't have to explain how this would feel to watch your children go through this. It's going to be a sword that pierces her soul. The pain that it's going to cause, the grief and the emotions that are going to be in there. It's not going to be easy for her. And she didn't have any of the indications of the specifics that were yet to come. But we see clearly that this is what Simeon was referring to, is the things that Jesus would have to put up with here on earth. Now, next we meet Anna. Now, her we know that she is older, and we know a little bit about who she is and where she's from. We see that she was married for 7 years before her husband passed. The next little tidbit, you may have a different way that it says it in your Bible. Mine says that she lived as a widow until she was 84 years old. Some translations say that she was widowed for 84 years, putting her age at over 100 years old. Her age here changes nothing either way, again. But if you heard me read the way mine says and yours says something different, it's a hard translation. So they do their best to figure out which it says. She was old. She had been a widow for the majority of her life, and she used that time to be dedicated to serving the Lord. She went to the temple every day and worshiped and prayed and fasted. Interestingly, she is a perfect model. She might have been who Paul had in mind when he wrote in 1 Timothy 5:5, says, "She who was truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day." Now, there's a couple of different parts of the context that Paul's writing that, but part of it is that we are to devote ourselves to the work of the Lord instead of opening up ourselves to idleness, which allows for the devil's temptations to come in and distract us and get us off of God's mission. Now, Anna came up, and she was in the temple that morning, and she saw, the way it reads, appears that she saw Simeon grab Jesus and hold him up and talking to Mary and Joseph. And she comes up, and she sees that, and she starts to give thanks to God and speak of him to everyone. Oh, that we would all continue to be that excited for Jesus and the work of God, even at over 100 years old. What an example and what a testimony Anna would be in that. She responded as all of those who truly encounter the living God will be called to respond. She gave thanks for Christ and the work that he has done for us. Thanks that he has done for her, especially. And then she went out and she told everyone about him. She responded the way we're all called to respond. Now, we've seen this morning again, Luke shows us two ways that we can see Jesus Christ as truly man. We see him circumcised as a baby on the eighth day as prescribed by law. We saw him brought to the temple and dedicated with Mary and Joseph, providing animal sacrifices for the cleansing of sins. We also saw two witnesses testifying to the fact that Jesus is not just any baby, but that he is in fact truly God. Simeon and Anna testified to this in a revelation made known to them directly by God. And it's funny to me. We see Mary and Joseph taking part in the sacrificial system, the blood of animals temporarily atoning for one's sins. They brought with them a baby boy who would grow up, live the life, and finish the sacrificial system once and for all. That he would shed his perfect blood and atone for the sins of all. All who, through the grace of God, giving us faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, respond to him in faith and repentance of our sins. Jesus took that all away. Jesus finished the work that could only be partly done in those days. God set that system up because, yes, sin needs blood, but also to point the way so that we would know that Jesus finished the job. And so when Jesus gave up his spirit, he said, "It is finished. There are no more sacrifices. Jesus has done it all." When we respond in faith and repentance to what he has done, then we get to be called the children of God. We get to be called God's people. And so I'm going to finish this up in prayer. And as I said, we're going to dedicate Daniel, lift him up and say, "Lord, we are dedicating ourselves to raising Daniel in the Lord, to raising him up to know the truth of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And that faith and repentance of him is the only way to salvation. And we're going to bring Rosie up and we're going to baptize her. She is going to say, I want everybody to know that I am dedicated to following God. The decision, the faith and repentance has already been done. And now we see the sign, the outward commitment to that. All because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, what can we say but you are a mighty God. You are a great God and you are good and holy. We present ourselves to you as fallen sinners, but you have made us clean with the blood of Christ. Lord, I pray that you help us to respond like Anna, that we would see your work, we would give thanks to you, and we would go out and tell those around us about it, that we would respond like Mary and Joseph, that we may not understand all that's going on around us, but we know the truth that you have told us. And even when we don't understand it, we believe that your truth is the full truth. Lord, I pray that we respond how you would call us to respond, with faith and repentance, that we would walk in your glory, living our life for you, doing the work of your kingdom, and raising up praises to you forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to CaseyHolenchek.com. That's CaseyHolenchek.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at CaseyHolenchek.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.